Searching for the perfect Mother's Day present? Try Sophyto Pro. That's Sophyto Pro, a natural skincare system now available exclusively through doctors and featured this month at the Hoffman Center store. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we have a very unique and unusual program in store for you because we're going to cover a couple of topics that we haven't really broached in our long history with Intelligent Medicine and the predecessor show, Health Talk. And number one, we're going to talk about dentistry, but dentistry not from the standpoint of, well, I've got a cavity or I've got periodontal disease, I've got tooth pain, shall I get dental implants, or even the mercury connection, which is important in dentistry. We're going to talk about dentistry from the standpoint of how our teeth and our bite and how our muscles in the jaw and neck have a pervasive influence on all aspects of our health. It's a very, very global phenomenon. And we're also going to talk to an expert on lasers in medicine. And this can be applied, of course, to the dental connection. Our guest is Dr. Larry Lytle. He is really Professor Emeritus in the dental connection. He's one of the originators of this concept. And he refers to this as DDS, Dental Distress Syndrome. He's author of a book entitled Healing Light, and he has practiced dentistry in Rapid City, South Dakota, for many decades. He also has lectured all over the United States and across the world on the subject of the dental connection, and he is very innovative in the use of what are called low-level lasers. His book, The Healing Light, talks about that, and we'll talk a little bit about that in today's podcast. So without further ado, here's our guest, Dr. Larry Lytle. Dr. Lytle, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. It's a pleasure to be here. And,
so tell us a little.
Talk about today that's, as you said in your introduction, is quite different than what mostly you hear about in alternative or complementary or even intelligent. I like that word, intelligent medicine.
Well, it means we're looking at the problem from both the standpoint of conventional medicine, but we're also going to take a very natural and alternative perspective and put those together, and then you've got good medical care and a good approach to a wide variety of problems. So the dental connection, how did you get into that, and tell us a little bit about what that entails?
Well, my teacher, Dr. L. Fonder, who was the author of DDS, the Dental Distress Syndrome. Also, obviously, some of you folks out there listening may know that DDS stands for Doctor of Dental Surgery, but this DDS stands for Dental Distress Syndrome. That book is out of print now, and it is not possible that to get a hold of that book, but the last four chapters of the book that you spoke about would give an overview of that book. In order for us to have your listeners better understand, I'm going to speak, Dr. Hoffman, in totally lay language today.
Great.
And speak as if I was talking to my neighbor across the street.
Good.
In order to do this, it would be better if we had pictures, but I'll try to draw a word picture of what I'm talking about. If the people actually want a picture of what we're talking about, you can call in at 866-434-5959 and type in a code number 1010, and they will send you a DVD of what I'm talking about. And you will get pictures on that DVD and show the beginning of the body, the fetus, or as it first starts out, the neural tube. When an egg and a sperm meet, it forms a fertilized cell called the zygote. That splits, and if you can picture along with me, taking your forefinger, putting it up there, and the part that hangs down would be the neural crest sticks up and the neural tip sticks down. The part that hangs down, that forms the central nervous system. That means your brain, your spinal cord, and the 10 cranial nerves. The part of the neural crest sticks up and the neural tip hangs down. Now, the neural crest, the part that's up, forms all of the peripheral nervous system. That's the nervous system out in your hands and your feet. Now, in the process of studying this, one would not believe that the dental connection has any relationship to dental health, to regular health, other than chewing food. But in reality, the four front teeth are also made of the same neural tissue as your brain and spinal cord. So excluding the enamel, Dr. Hoffman.
Right.
So those four front teeth are actually extensions of your brain and spinal cord. Now, when you go to the opposite side, the neural crest, that neural crest forms all of your peripheral nervous system, and it also forms all of your endocrine system, and it forms half of the pituitary. The neural tube that hangs down forms the other half, so we are beginning to form what we know as the fetus. And this starts to form, as I mentioned, called the neural tube. But the part that sticks up also forms your heart, all your organ systems, your intestines, all your endocrine systems, all the way down to your female and male organs. And it also forms the back teeth, excepting enamel. So in reality, your dentist should be a neurologist of the highest order, and they're not taught this in school.
Well, you know, it's very interesting when you study embryology, when you study the early origins of the fetus, there's a saying that I remember from medical school, which is that function follows ontology. There's a word, ontology, which means, I guess, the study of the development of the structures in the body, and that the eventual function may relate to its primitive origins and how everything has kind of been related and their common roots of structures that we tend to think of as very specialized and unrelated in the child or in the adult. They actually were parcel of the same system in development.
That's true, Dr. Hoffman. If we can go back probably way back 2,000 years ago when the Chinese talked about this, and it actually has been misinterpreted as it came down through Chinese medicine. Chinese medicine talked about the oral cavity being in charge of the body, but they weren't talking about teeth. They were talking about what I call proprioception. Now, proprioception is a big word that most people... I didn't even know that word when I was in school. But proprioception is known by chiropractors through the Golgi tendons. The Golgi tendons are tendons in the feet that let you know when you're upright. And that is where most people studied proprioception. But the most delicate proprioception in the entire body is between the upper front teeth and the lower front teeth. The teeth can tell the difference between the thickness of an eyelash and an eyebrow, 1/1,000,000th of an inch or less.
Wow.
And all your listeners know this to be a fact when they're chewing something and maybe they get a seed in the tooth. It feels like a mountain in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and you can tell it, and that's the most delicate proprioception in the whole body. Now, if you look back at the embryology, the development of the fetus, you'll find that the central nervous system is in charge of one of those cranial nerves that is very, very important to the entire function of the body is the fifth cranial nerve, also called the trigeminal or also called the mandibular nerve. Now, that nerve is both motor and sensory. That means being sensory. It gathers information like touch and taste and smell does, being sensory organs. And it gathers information and then turns around, and the same mandibular nerve tells the body what to do about it. Now, that mandibular nerve, if you look at some of your dental anatomy pictures in the same books that you and I study, Dr. Hoffman, you look in there, and the fifth cranial nerve, or the mandibular nerve, trigeminal nerve, has direct connecting fibers with the vagus nerve. Direct connecting fibers. Now, your listeners may not know that the vagus nerve plays a significant role in regulating all of the internal organs.
Some of them may actually say, I haven't the vaguest idea what that does. That's
I would agree. And that vagus nerve is sometimes it's a little bit of a, it plays a role, we'll put it that way, and mm-hmm. and a significant role in, if your heart is missing a beat, the vagus nerve plays a role in that. If your pancreas is not producing enough insulin, your vagus nerve plays a role in that. And you can go all the way through all the internal organ systems. If you have erectile dysfunction, your vagus nerve plays a role. If you have premature menopause, your vagus nerve plays a role in that. Now, unbeknownst to most people, and including medical doctors and most dentists, the height of the back teeth has a significant role in regulating the feedback through the mandibular nerve to the vagus nerve. So if your teeth are too short or missing, or they didn't come in at the right height, or they've been incorrectly prepared and crowned. Now, I shouldn't use the word incorrectly, Dr. Hoffman, because that may sound like the dentist is doing it wrong. The dentist isn't doing it wrong. The way we've done dentistry forever has been one-tooth dentistry. If you get a hole, something wrong with a tooth, a decay, obviously it was filled with amalgam or mercury fillings at one time, and then more recently, many of the dentists are going to different type of composites. They fill the hole, and then the side breaks out of the tooth, and then they put a crown on the tooth. Every tooth that is filled or crowned is taken slightly out of occlusion by the dentist. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is if you leave it too high, the tooth gets sore, the ligament gets sore.
Right.
And your tooth will ache. So every dentist, myself included, in the 35 years I practiced dentistry, would take the little blue piece of paper and have you click, clack down on it.
Right. Everybody has that familiar experience, right.
And grind it out of occlusion. So as you grind that tooth out of occlusion, then that leaves the tooth on each side of it hitting slightly harder. Now, then what happens is the tooth on the back side of that first molar, it may break, and then you have another crown taken slightly out of occlusion. So dentistry in and of itself, the way we practiced it, one-tooth dentistry, is designed to make the teeth shorter. But as you make the teeth shorter, then what happens is that the front teeth then hit too soon. Now, or another way of making the teeth shorter, Dr. Hoffman, is through what you know as whiplash. Now, most people know that you can move teeth forward and back and side to side. But we've had blinders on when it comes to the muscles getting tight. When your head goes beep, beep, back and forth in an automobile accident, a football accident, a falling, skating, doesn't matter. Anytime your head takes a flip-flop this way and that way, the muscles in the neck, there's 68 pair of those muscles, and those muscles will tighten up to protect the neck from further flexure. And as those muscles tighten up, they orthodontically move the teeth into the bone. Now, when they orthodontically make the teeth shorter, then your teeth on the front hit too soon. I was very fortunate, Dr. Hoffman, to see the original skull that Mrs. Leakey or her husband found down in Africa That skull was 2 million years old. Being a dentist, I paid close attention, and the front teeth cannot sink into the bone. They couldn't even 2 million years ago because the base of the nose is very firm, solid bone. And those teeth cannot be pushed up into the bone like the back teeth can move into the spongy bone back there. Nor can the lower front teeth be pushed into the bone because the tip of the chin is extremely hard bone. And so the front teeth then cannot be embedded or pushed into the bone where the back teeth can by a whiplash accident. Now, when these front teeth hit too soon, then that sends a signal to the stress part of the body. Now, I was fortunate enough to know a lot about stress early on, and I believe Dr. Hans Selye and what he talked about stress and distress. Hans Selye wrote the foreword to the book, my teacher's book, Dr. L. Fonder's book, Dental Distress Syndrome. And he talked about this and said, this is the most important thing that medical doctors and dentists should be able to cooperate on, is to understand that the way the teeth fit together have a significant role on all of your body's systems, particularly all of your autonomic or automatic nervous systems. Your listeners may not know the word autonomic, but I call it automatic for the guy across the street. Mm-hmm. And that automatic system functions whether you think about it or not. Your heart beats, your lungs breathe, and so on. And that system is a systematic functioning system. But very, very few people ever die from any kind of a pain in the joint. They always end up dying from internal organ failure. And that is through the autonomic or automatic nervous system. Now, that system cannot function right if it does not get a proprioceptive signal from the height of the back teeth. If the back teeth are missing, or they're too short, or they've been orthodontically moved into the bone, then those organ systems do not get the signal correctly. That came from 2,000 years of Chinese medicine, and we didn't listen very well.
Well, it sounds like, according to that theory, a lot of folks could be in trouble. And in ways, we tend to ascribe health problems to cholesterol or to pollutants or to bad diet or to too much emotional stress, wrong kinds of, too much fat or too much sugar, depending on which camp you belong to. And what you're saying is that there are a lot of processes. I think your claim is probably not that every process in the body is totally and completely governed by your jaw occlusion and your bite, but that certain problems can be exacerbated or triggered by imbalances in the mouth. So lots of people are likely to be in trouble because we do so much artificial dentistry. So many people are subject to head trauma that clearly a lot of people have misaligned jaws.
That's very true. And the very best of the dentists seldom will cap or work on all 28 teeth. Most of the white race lose their wisdom teeth because they don't have enough room in their jaw for them, and therefore they are four teeth less than a lot of the native races. And for example, in China and in the yellow race and the black race, they have room for their wisdom teeth. White folks generally do not. And therefore, we have 28 teeth remaining after the wisdom teeth are removed sometime in your early 20s normally. Now, those 28 teeth seldom are all capped or onlaid and raised up in height. Even the very best dentists won't raise the height of all 28 teeth.
Now, would that be a solution in and of itself to see a dentist who is attuned to this syndrome and have kind of a leveling process in your mouth? Or is there another way to get around that? Because that sounds like a very cumbersome process. Dentistry is expensive.
Very cumbersome.
Yeah, dentistry is expensive, and you know, having just gone through, you know, having to have a cap replaced, you know, I had some insurance, but I got a big bill, and I wanted to minimize the number of trips to the dentist, and the thought of going back to have all, you know, however many teeth I have realigned, you know, that's something that I would find rather repellent.
Well, you know, compared to other medicine, it's probably not expensive. You know, a heart bypass surgery may run you $70,000-$80,000 or more. You can probably get every tooth in your mouth fixed, raised up for that. So when you look at the comparison to other medicine, it isn't expensive. The difference is that no insurance will pay just to make your teeth longer.
Exactly.
Yeah. So consequently, this is all out of your pocket. So very few people can get that done. Now, there are places where you can learn to do that, and it's called neuromuscular dentistry.
Right. Which, by the way, is very popular these days. There's a lot of younger practitioners, new practitioners adopting this. So this is not just on some sort of anachronism. I know that you developed this system decades and decades ago, and you're truly a pioneer. But now I think you must be gratified to see a lot of younger practitioners becoming aware of this.
That's true. My daughter is a neuromuscular dentist, and she has taken many of the courses at the Las Vegas Institute, where they teach, one of the places where they teach that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these younger practitioners understand computers and muscle myography. You know, it's just taking what has been used in medicine for many, many years and
right.
applying it to the oral area rather than to the heart. You
know, so there's EKG. Actually very sophisticated instrumentation that can be used. I think I've seen some of the devices which measure autonomic response in relationship to just minute changes in the tone of the jaw muscles.
That's true. And you ask if there were that type of dentist, and of course there is. And the likelihood of most of the listeners going to that type of dentist, finding that type of dentist, and then getting what needs to be done is remote, very remote. So consequently, the avenue that I've come up with through studying with all of my teachers is to keep the muscles that operate the lower jaw in relationship to the skull. There's 68 pair of those, and those 130 six muscles must be at their endowed length. They must operate not too short, not too long. And if you lose height of your back teeth, the muscles foreshorten. And as the muscles foreshorten, then that foreshortening of the muscles constricts the blood flow to the brain. And now we're getting into an area that it's a bit scary, because if your muscles in your neck, caused by the back teeth being too short, are tight, then the blood flow to the brain is reduced. And sometimes it's reduced significantly. Now, I'm not sure whether your listeners understand thermograms, but a thermogram is a measuring of it's a device that measures the temperature of the skin, surface of the skin. And if you have plenty of blood circulation, the skin will be warmer than if you don't. Thermograms have shown that when you increase the height of the back teeth, you can increase the blood flow to the brain by up to 40%.
Wow.
Now, most listeners will understand, when you don't have ample blood flow to the brain, nothing good is going to happen. You have reduced oxygen to the brain. When you have reduced oxygen to the brain, you don't think as well. You become angry more often. You are more stressed. All the bad things in life are worse when you have a reduced oxygen to the brain.
Right, and actually, I have here from your website a list of some of the dental distress syndrome problems, a range of unexplained physical and mental symptoms that I'm going to read for our listeners, because it's quite diverse.
Please do that.
Includes allergies, coldness of the hands and feet, dermatitis, forgetfulness, ulcers, indigestion, sexual dysfunction, even suicidal tendencies, depression, of course, constipation, dizziness, frequent urination, headache, insomnia, sinus problems, hypertension, body pains and numbness, bladder and kidney complications, fatigue, gynecological problems, hearing loss, nervousness, worry. many other symptoms. And I guess what that attests to is the pervasiveness of the interactions between this dental system and our autonomic nervous system, and of course the circulatory issues that may be related to spasm of blood vessels in that part of the body where critical blood needs to get to the brain. All right, this is a good point, Dr. Lytle, for us to pause, because this is part one. I think we've set the stage for a discussion of DDS, the dental distress syndrome, and we're going to move in part two to a discussion of what can we do about it. Dr. Larry Lytle, our guest today, is author of Healing Light, and in our second part, part two of Intelligent Medicine Today, we're going to talk about low-level lasers for healing some of the problems we've been talking about. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.